Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Welcome, everyone, to a Friday edition of the Gym Class on this March the 8th, coming to you live from the main gym on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, and the Gym Class airing on 1600 AM today. State championship basketball being aired. Scott Unash on the call with Denny Gettle on the first of two state championship games involving, first of all, Al Burnett, and second, North Lynn. By the way, right now, Al Burnett trailing at halftime by the somewhat appalling score of 14-6.
You know, I think we've got other things to talk about, but there was a topic. Connor McCaffrey actually tweeted earlier this week about some of the scores we've been seeing in the boys' state basketball tournament, and brought up the idea of whether or not a shot clock would help some of that. And I think that would be an interesting thing to get your thoughts on, but I think we've got something else to talk about today.
We do. That is Kyle Mann. I am Mark Dukes with you for the next hour or so leading up to the Todd Bromekamp show with Alex Kuhn. There is clamoring for a shot clock in high school basketball. Perhaps we'll have that discussion with Scott when he returns next week. Coming up on the show, a good one, Dan Shonka, our friend from ourlads.com. He will bring his latest opinions on the NFL draft after the recent combine. And always looking forward to talking with Dan on all things NFL. We also have to digest, whether we like it or not, what happened in Wisconsin last night. I admittedly borrowed a phrase from Micah Loss and the Gazette's headline writer, perhaps Sam Paxton. March badness. March badness last night. And we're going to talk more about that coming up. But this is championship season, Kyle. So much going on. Big Ten women's basketball tournament underway. Iowa plays Indiana at 5:30 this afternoon. Missouri Valley Conference men's basketball. Drake and UNI both in action today. We'll have the UNI Southern Illinois game at 8 o'clock tonight on 107.5 and 106.3. As mentioned, the boys' state basketball tournament going on. Al Burnett, Grandview Christian, now in the second half of that game. North Lynn, Boyden Hall for the 2A title, coming up at 3:50. Then tonight, an all-Mississippi Valley Conference matchup between Cedar Falls and Dubuque Senior for the 4A state championship. So much wrestling. Big Ten wrestling starts tomorrow. The brackets are out. Big 12 wrestling being held in Cedar Falls this weekend. And Division III wrestling in Roanoke, Virginia. That has already started. And right now, Augsburg, after session one, leading with 22 points. Providence at 16.5. Loras in third. Wartburg in fourth. Coe in 15th. And, God, what a great time of year, Coe.
A lot of stuff going on. I'm not a huge wrestling guy, but even around this time of the year, I start keeping my eye on the wrestling tournaments. That stuff is very exciting to me.
Yeah, it's you know, on the Division III ranks, it's not only the local teams but area wrestlers. I saw Kyle Briggs from Jefferson won his opening round match at the D3s for Wartburg. So we'll keep an eye on all that throughout the weekend. But Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill in Orlando going on today. Zach Johnson with an early tee time. He shot a 1-under par 71. He is 3-under par for the tournament and currently inside the top 20 at minus 3. The lead right now, Tommy Fleetwood at minus 9. So Zach's going to go into the weekend with a chance to improve his standing, making the cut easily, and hope for the best for Zach in that regard. I know you don't follow golf a whole lot, Kyle, but I just wanted to acknowledge the death of Dan Jenkins at age 89 today. I've got several of Dan's books on my bookshelf at home. He was known as primarily, excuse me, a golf writer. He covered over 200 majors, but he authored some 20 books, semi-tough among them. He was a prolific writer. He was witty. I admire guys like that. I mean, the old-time writers, Jim Murray from the Los Angeles Times, you know, Bob Verdi from the Chicago Tribune, and so many others that they just had the gift. And Dan Jenkins certainly had that, and we'll miss him. His daughter, Sally, quite the writer herself. She was at the Washington Post, and maybe still is. I'm not quite sure, but she's a very good writer in her own right. So let's touch on Iowa basketball, Kyle, before we get to Dan Chonka in about 10 minutes. You want a recipe for disaster? 30% shooting. No player in double figures. You get out rebounded 48-30 and commit 25 fouls. Who in the hell are you going to beat?
I don't know, Mark. And you said it. That is just a recipe for disaster. And going into last night, you know, the writing, it felt like the writing was on the wall. Iowa had lost 3 of 4 already. Coming off that awful, awful loss to Rutgers. They're still without their head coach. It's Wisconsin senior night. You just knew this wasn't going to go great. And somehow this still was way, way worse than I expected. 45 points. That is the worst offensive output of the season by 20. And like you said, not a single guy in double digits. And, you know, the defensive concerns for this team have been there all season long. But, you know, look back at some of those crazy finishes, the one in Indiana. You know, when the offense isn't, for most of the season, the offense has been there. You know, the defense has never been great. It's been improved, but never great. I would say really not even all that good with any kind of consistency. The offense, though, has always been there to keep them close and keep them within range to make a late run and come back and win. We saw what happens last night when that Hawkeye defense doesn't have any offense to protect it. And gosh, that, Mark, you can speak to this more than I can, but what can you compare this to? Have you ever seen anything like that? Am I overstating it by saying that is one of the most pitiful performances I've ever seen?
No, not really, especially in the three-point era, where you're going to have more points scored usually. Back in the day, I remember covering an Iowa-Michigan State game at the Fieldhouse before the three-point goal, and I don't remember which team decided to take the air out of the ball. Judd Heathcote was at Michigan State, Lute Olson at Iowa, and it was like 10-6 at halftime or something like that. You just don't see that these days unless you're in the Iowa high school ranks. But, I mean, from what I saw last night, I think Iowa has won its last game of this particular basketball season. Unless something changes and changes in a hurry, this team is going nowhere. 319-366-1600, our Hurteen and Stocker Jeweler text line. And there's players on Twitter, Iowa players on Twitter. Nothing wrong with that, but Jordan Bohannon, I love him. Love what he brings to the game. Good player. But he thinks that most Iowa fans, true Iowa fans, are still behind this team. I mean, on the one hand, what's he going to say? On the other hand, he's out there tweeting it. Are you in Jordan Bohannon's camp or another camp, folks?
I learned a lesson from the Iowa basketball team. Even when I first got hired here, just about almost 2 years ago, I look at Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa football team, and, you know, you commit to play football at Iowa, you're not going to be on Twitter anymore. And when I first got here just a short 2 years ago, I thought that was such crap, man. Come on, they're kids. It's Twitter. Let them talk. After seeing the way the Iowa basketball team, you know, at even in its lowest moments, it seems like less than an hour after some of these awful games sometimes, the guys are all over Twitter. And you know, first, there's a few different things. You know, first of all, you have bigger things to worry about. Second of all, engaging on Twitter is only going to distract you from focusing on those things. The Iowa basketball team has very much taught me a lesson, which is that social media is a distraction. Kirk Ferentz is very much onto something with that Twitter ban. I'm not in Jordan Bohannon's camp here.
1775 on the text line. Iowa is going to continue to go downhill if Coach McCaffrey keeps putting his son's playing time ahead of the best interest of the team. He hurts the team every time he enters the game. I don't necessarily agree with that. Connor McCaffrey is a good ball handler. He's an able passer.
Yeah.
He is not a great scorer. He got to the line a couple times last night. But he's not going to give you 12, 15 points a night. He's going to handle the basketball, allow Jordan Bohannon to play at the two. That hasn't worked out great because they haven't gotten Jordan Bohannon shots, or he hasn't gotten shots for himself. I think Connor McCaffrey is the least of Iowa's problems.
Yeah, there is a role for Connor McCaffrey on this team. Like you said, he's a good ball handler. He's a smart passer. He has a role on this team, and it's an important one. And, you know, they lost by 20 points last night. Nobody scored double figures. Last night is not Connor McCaffrey's fault, and it's definitely not Coach McCaffrey's fault for putting Connor in too much, because Fran wasn't even on the bench last night. So, you know, there's a lot of issues to poke at here, but to say Connor McCaffrey is the problem here, you know, you're looking at one thing that you want to see, I think, more than something that's actually there.
Tyler Cook was scoreless last night and got embarrassed by Ethan Happ. Ethan Happ not only had a double-double on his senior night, what was it, 21 and 18 or something like that? Iowa got out-hustled on the boards, committed stupid fouls, shot it poorly. That's why Iowa lost, not because of Connor McCaffrey.
Every time I say this, I think I mean it. But then a little bit later, it'll come up again, and I realize it wasn't as true the first time as I thought. But last night, I saw an Iowa team that at a certain point quit. Or, you know, maybe, I don't know if quit is maybe even the right word, but was disinterested in playing. You know, you get down in games like this, and what's the one thing that you really cannot do? Is just dribble down the court, just jack up a shot, miss it, run back on defense. You have to at least still work for good shots. You have to keep putting in the work. If you're ever going to come back, you're not going to do it by hitting, you know, 15 miracle shots in a row. You've got to put in the work and get good shots. But last night in the second half, Jordan Bohannon did it. Isaiah Moss did it. Joe Wieskamp even did it at least once. Where they were very much just making the trip down the floor, jacking up a shot, going back on defense. It became quite clear to me, you know, if not sooner, by the 10-minute mark in the second half, that was an Iowa team that just wanted to get that game over with.
They didn't quit. They got desperate. At a minimum, I think.
Yeah, you could call those shots desperation,
and it's not going to get any better on Sunday when Iowa plays at Nebraska. Another senior night. I don't know how many seniors Nebraska has, but Nebraska fighting for position in the Big Ten tournament. It has posted a couple nice victories. Miles is fighting for his job. And I think it's a collective issue with Iowa. And I, you know, if I had a suggestion on what to do, you know, I'd offer it, but I don't. This is a team that is really fallen off, and I don't think is going to do much in the postseason. 1307 on the text line, Iowa would be better off in the NIT instead of getting absolutely waxed in the NCAA tournament first round. This team has no fight to compete.
You know, that brings up an interesting point. You think back a couple nights ago, Iowa State, you know, also, things are not well in Ames. But, and, you know, the optics of this were really bad. Michael Jacobson shoved Talon Horton Tucker in the middle of that game, in the middle of a huddle, right there in the middle of the floor for all to see. And that's bad. You know, I don't really want my team to be behaving like that on the floor, but it shows one thing, and that's a little bit of fire. It shows that there's one guy out there on the floor who's not happy with the way things are going, and he doesn't want the other guys to be satisfied with the way things are going either. And I'm sitting there last night, and I'm watching, like I said, I'm watching these guys just jog up and down the floor, not really trying, and I'm wondering, who's Iowa's Michael Jacobson? Who's gonna, you know, if Fran, especially when Fran McCaffrey's not on the sideline, who on that Hawkeye team is going to get in somebody's face and say, hey, we are playing basketball here tonight. Can I get a little something out of you guys? And I don't think that they have that. I don't think they have a single player.
I would point to Nicholas Bear as the guy I would want to do that.
Just because he's a senior.
I'm not sure that's in his nature.
Yeah.
And the way he plays.
The hustle, true.
55-87 on the text line. The lack of athleticism at the guard spot kills this team. No one can penetrate and get their own shot.
That brings up another thing. I mean, no one guy on that team really is a ruthless penetrator, you know? But at one point this season, Iowa led the country in free throw attempts. And it just another in a long list of things last night that just, you know, it was awful in a way that doesn't even make sense. Iowa only had 6 free throw attempts last night. Mm-hmm. Not a single starter had one attempt, I don't believe. It's just, it was not only bad, but it was bad in a way that is inexplicable.
Iowa, a 6.5-point to 7-point underdog last night and lost by 20. That's not good. Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. How do you feel about Iowa's NCAA tourney chances at this point? We give you 3 choices. They are solidly in the tournament. Second, they're in now, but lastly, Iowa won't make the cut. Go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com. Right now, we're going to step aside. More Iowa talk later on, but we're going to bring in Dan Shaka from OurLads.com after this.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stocker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly. So there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work. And it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Doing HVAC work has given you some good opportunities. Now how about an even better one? Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is looking to represent residential commercial HVAC workers. Being with 263 means you're part of the union, and union jobs offer better pay, better benefits, and better job security. Those are things that mean a better life using the skills you already have. Work with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263. Give Rick a call at 319-721-9414. 319-721-9414.
Welcome back to the gym class at 3:23 on this Friday afternoon. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. The gym class brought to you by Third Base. Just like KGYM, Third Base is locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again. Great for a quick lunch, catch a game after work, or bring the family in for an affordable and delicious meal. At Third Base, you're practically home. Right now, we want to bring in our friend Dan Shonka, fellow Jayhawk, does a great job at the rlads.com. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Mark. Happy to be here. Happy to be anywhere. And so it's exciting times after the combine with all the Iowa guys working out well.
It really is indeed. And I noticed you were on with Keyshawn Johnson in L.A. this morning, and now you're on with us. We're so honored.
Well, you know, I tell you what, it's fun. I mean, when I was with Keyshawn, remembered this too, but when he was a senior coming out, he used to greet the scouts when they came in. You know what I mean? At the doorway of the practice facility, he would meet us and introduce himself and everything to all the scouts. And I reminded him of that. I'm on every year with him a couple of times, and I reminded him.
That's good. That's good. Generally speaking, whether it was Iowa related or not, what was your biggest takeaway from the combine?
Well, all the speed the linebackers had, and the tight ends, a great deep group. Kyler Murray being 5'10", 1, he got over that, you know, and so I think overall, it was a very athletic group. But I don't know if there's a lot of really impact players, but there's a lot of good football players.
Dan, what in your mind is the most important so-called measurable at the combine, or does it matter by position?
Yeah, it's by position, Mark. I think that you like to see the wide receivers run fast, defensive backs run fast, but also be able to vertical jump. And, you like to see the linemen bench press and run, the agility, the 20-yard agility. So I think overall, it depends on the position, on, what you like to see them do at the combine.
Four Iowa guys and two Iowa State guys at the combine, Noah Fant, T.J. Hockenson, Anthony Nelson, Imani Hooker for Iowa, Hakeem Butler, David Montgomery for Iowa State. Let me put it this way, Dan. Did any of those guys hurt their chances?
Oh, no. Actually, the four Iowa guys and Butler were outstanding. And then Montgomery, we knew he couldn't run, 4.4 or low 4.5s. But he's a tremendous back, and, he did a lot of other things very well. So I think five of the guys of the six knocked the lights out of the workout.
Did anything that happened in the combine, Dan, change any mock thoughts or drafts that you have in your mind right now?
Yeah, I think guys can move up by their verified speed. I mean, you think a guy can run. I mean, look at Butler. He ends up running a 4.48, 4.49 at that size. And the other, two Iowa tight ends, they ran great. They're going to be up there in first-round consideration. Anthony Nelson, I thought he might not get out of the second round. And Hooker had a great workout, and he's probably going to be a second-round guy. And Butler is going to be he's probably going to be a low second-rounder. So and then I think Montgomery always kind of thought that he'd be a third-round guy.
Talking with Dan Shonk of rlads.com on the gym class today, heading for the bottom of the hour. I got to put you on the spot, Dan, as I have a few NFL guys on this show. If you've got a shot at, say, 12 or 15, maybe even higher, lower, I don't know. If you need a tight end and you've got a shot, Fant and Hockenson both are on the board, who do you go with?
It depends on my offense.
Oh, okay.
Now I think that, Hockenson might be a better fit for a Green Bay, for instance, where I think a Fant is a multiple alignment guy that he can stick him out at wideout. You know, throw the ball up to him, and he'll go after it. I just think that it all depends on what you're running and, you know, on offense. And both those guys can be in the slot. I just think, you know, it really depends on your offense, because I think they're both really close. I like them both, and I think Fant's blocking was better this year. He's a little better athletically, but there's so many good tight ends this year that those two are the cream of the crop, however.
Why isn't Hakeem Butler considered a first-round pick?
I don't know. Because I said early in the second, and he might squeeze his way up there. But, Mark, you've seen him play. He does have one or two drops, nasty drops a game. But he'll make that spectacular splash play. So if he can put up with a drop or two, I don't know if you remember Funches from Michigan. Mm-hmm. He dropped that ball all the time, and he went in the second round. So I think Butler, I mean, for some teams, he's probably going to have low first-round grades.
I mean, just for the fact alone, Dan, you know the NFL, you're inside the 10-yard line. How many times do you see that fade to the right receiver? He's standing 6'6", and great reach. Getting down there for that alone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, the NFL is all about matchups, and he's a guy, as is Fant. I mean, I believe both those guys can be your red zone, big play, splash receiver. Get the ball up. They'll go up after it. Where he walls you off, you know, and I mean, he's going to – it depends on the team, but he very well is going to get consideration in the late first round, as is the two Iowa tight ends.
I want to focus on Hockenson just a little bit. We've seen a lot of first-round tight ends in recent years, but it's usually, you know, your O.J. Howard, your Eric Ebron, David Njoku, Evan Engram, where you've got a big body and a lot of athleticism. There's a lot of potential there, but Hockenson is coming out of college as a very refined and proven blocker. In your scouting experience, does he remind you of somebody? Just how unique is it to see such a refined blocker also a receiving threat?
Yeah, well, the thing is, a lot of in the new age offense, most of these guys are in the slot, you know, and so they're not used to blocking. And then, you know, I've been in a lot of meetings where all the tight end coaches say, oh, we can teach this guy how to block. And then they get to camp, and then they come in the meetings. The coach says, why the hell do we draft this guy? He can't block, you know. And so, yeah, we told you that, coach, but you can coach him up. You know, but Hockenson, that's why he's going to be a favorite with a lot of the off the tight end coaches out there, because they don't have a lot of time to teach technique. They're able to get in there and, you know, he can get in there and play a lot earlier because he does have a lot of blocking skills, zone blocking skills, uses his hands well, he locks on that defender on the inside frame, and gives him a ride, and he works to finish. That might be the thing that I like best about him, is he's not only initially a good blocker, but he works to finish, and that's going to favor him with a lot of people.
I think, like you said, Imani Hooker, I thought, had a really good combine, helped himself, proving he's got legitimate speed. He's a unique prospect, not because of his skill set, but he's unique to me because of the safety position and the way that is evolving in the NFL. It seems to me you've got more Deion Buchanans, Mark Barron, kind of those safety linebacker hybrids now. And, you know, Imani Hooker dropped down, played a lot of linebacker for Iowa last year. How much is that going to help him through the lens of NFL scouts?
Immensely. And, Deion Buchanan kind of set the bar a few years ago, and we actually were only, I think, the only scouting service out there that had Buchanan in the first round. And, you know, he was a strong safety in college and a good tackler. And I think that's the thing. Hooker, now you see the base defense anymore is a 4-2-5 scheme, and he's going to be the guy that can match up with tight ends, be able to play the run, and things like that, because there's a lot of three safeties on the field. So he's one of those guys, and he'll be very well thought of.
given those circumstances, is Hooker maybe a guy, maybe more than any of these other ones, him and Butler, where maybe Imani Hooker goes way higher than any of us are really expecting?
Well, you know, he's going to go in the second round, I believe. You know, so it's just a matter of what team drafts him and how they want to use him. You know, all the teams will have him pegged in a certain spot for their defense. And, you know, he's going to go. But I think if your expectations are the second round or early second round, you know, it could be realized.
You know, I've heard all along, Dan, that this is a deep defensive line draft, and correct me if I'm wrong there, but which was curious, if that's the case, why Anthony Nelson decided to come out, but you like him.
Yeah, I do. I tell you, I was really excited about his workout. I mean, he's not, you know, God only makes so many tall people, and he's 6'7", he's 271, and he had those long arms, and on top of it all, he really worked out well. And so I think that at worst, you're going to see him play a left defensive end in a four-man front, or, he can play the anchor in a three-man front, but he's got skills to rush the passer, so I think that somebody's going to give him a shot in rotation, as a right side end, and because of those long arms, and he's long everywhere, it's going to be a big benefit to whoever drafts him, so he's going to be a middle or early, he could be early second round guy too.
Who among, Dan, the Iowa, Iowa State, UNI players that were not invited to the combine, they're going to have their draft pro days and whatnot. Who among those guys do you like to either be drafted or maybe make an impression in a camp?
Like Peavy up at Iowa State, the corner, he's a little bit undersized, but, he's a terrific football player. I think that, he's going to be in that mix. And then, it all depends on, like, the Iowa guys. They'll be, in there to work out for people, and whoever, runs well or there's, Gervaisi, he's done some good things. Hesse, he's done some things. Probably those guys are going to be in that free agent mix, so I think you're really looking at – I don't think you'll see anybody drafted from any of the three schools, but I think you'll see a lot of guys being free agents.
I want to ask you about a couple guys outside of our more immediate area. I want to start with DK Metcalf, very polarizing, not just among the public, but even in my own head. I've seen the pictures. I know he ran a 4.33, but I also know the dude can't hardly move from side to side. Just tell me what do you make of DK Metcalf?
Well, Kyle, he's got a body like we all wish we had, and but that being said, you're exactly right, because you got to be able to change direction. You guys probably remember David Boston when he came out of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. He blew up, and he looked like the Michelin man after a while because he had a lot of those ripples all over a muscle, but, he couldn't move. And that bothers me about Metcalf. We probably won't have him in the first round when we do our first mock draft, but because he's got a medical too, he's got that neck, and that's a problem, and he's had other injuries in the past. He's got all that muscle and everything, and those guys that are like that usually are problems with injuries or have problems with injuries, and he's certainly one of those guys that. So, no, I'm with you. He'll probably go in the second round, or somebody may take him the first, and he may be a big bust.
The other guy I want to ask you about is Josh Allen, the edge rusher from Kentucky. It seems like the consensus so far is that Nick Bosa is kind of a little bit more safer, a little bit more sure thing to be a really good player. But Josh Allen, I see plenty of people talking about he has really superstar potential, and him playing at Kentucky, we just haven't been exposed to him a whole lot. Can you tell us a little bit about Josh Allen?
Yeah, I tell you, he's the last couple of years, he has really been productive in that SEC, comes off the edge really well, he drops into coverage, he's a very good athlete, and he's a multiple alignment guy. I'm not going to say he's Khalil Mack, but he's kind of like Mac was when Mac was at Buffalo when he came out. You can move him a lot of places. You can put his hand down. You can have him stand up. You can twist him, you know, inside. He can come through those A-gaps and things. And he's got some length to him. He's a very good athlete. And he's probably quicker than fast. I think he ran 4.7 or 4.69, something like that, the combine. But he's super, super quick. And he's football smart. You know, he's a very athletic guy and understands the game. So, you know, he's certainly going to be a top 10 pick.
Dan, if Arizona takes Kyler Murray, what does that say about the state of football when you give up on Josh Rosen after a year?
Well, I'll tell you, when they kicked out their coach after 1 year, it makes you wonder. But here's the thing. It's easier to find a coach than a great player. And I really believe Josh Rosen is going to be fine. You know, he just has to get some blocking and all that. Now, if you bring in that coach to bring in Kyler Murray, you get no blocking. See, to me, Kyler Murray, he's a thin bone guy, and I don't care how many pierogies and cheesecake pieces he had before the combine, he's still a 190-pound guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he weighed in at 207, and he had a little bit of a gut on him, too, by the way, for a little guy. And we'll see what he does, how he runs, but in his pro day. But I do not like, his thin bone structure. I mean, you know, I was a big Baker Mayfield guy. He's compact build. Russell Wilson looks like a running back, well-built guy. Kyler Murray, and in fact, if you remember when they played Alabama, Anifrede Jenkins grabbed him and just threw him to the dirt. And so did Christian Miller. I mean, it was easy, but you got to get him first because he's very elusive, you know. But he's a small guy, and I tell you, it's a game of physics in the NFL because the good old big ones usually whip up on those good old little ones.
Well, beyond that, too, I heard Charlie Casserly comment. He had three sources. He claimed that Murray didn't interview very well. Have you heard that?
You know, my sources weren't obviously Charlie's. I kind of I've talked to some players that played with him at Oklahoma that I knew, and talked to coaches at Oklahoma. Just, you know, and they're not going to say anything bad about the guy anyway, the coaches. But they all kind of seem the opposite of what Charlie's sources said. But that doesn't mean, you know, Charlie's three sources, that's their impression. You know, the other people, the other coaches and things that interviewed him, They got a different impression. These guys that played with him have a different impression. So, you know, but, hey, we'll see what happens. I guess we'll know in a year or two if things go south wherever he's at.
We know about Murray. We know about Dwayne Haskins. Any other quarterbacks that might be under the radar out there?
Well, you know, I just that's a darn good question because I'm not really high on this class. I think that you know, possibly a Ryan Finley will be a good backup from North Carolina State. I like some things that he does. I think Jarrett Stidham, he throws a nice ball from Auburn, but he's had his struggles. A guy that didn't make it to the combine that I think is going to be a good backup and might develop into a starter along down the line is Taylor Cornelius out of Oklahoma State. You know, Brett Ripien from Boise State, got a strong arm, smart guy. You know, again, a lot of these guys I see as backups. If they get a break, they might ultimately start. I'm not as high on Daniel Jones as some people. I kind of like Jordan Tamu from Mississippi. He throws a nice ball, strong arm. You know, so there's a lot of developmental kind of guys, but not really any impact guys.
I wasn't going to bring him up because he's a little bit in the weeds, but if we're going to bring up sleeper quarterbacks, may I please have your thoughts on Buffalo's Tyree Jackson?
Well, he may be sleeping here before it's all over, though. We're going to have to wake him up because he's a big man, and he threw a lot of vertical routes there at Buffalo, and he looks pretty, but we've been down that road with big, good-looking, pretty quarterbacks before they can't play. And I mean, there's some things there, but he's got the touch of an old German lady with an axe. You know what I mean? He can't. I mean, he just when it's close and check down stuff, he throws that ball 100 miles an hour, and you can't do that, you know. And he's got a lot to learn. And usually if you're not accurate coming out of college, you're not going to be in the NFL. But somebody's going to take a chance on him, and they're going to roll the dice. And I'm not real happy with what I'm going to see when that dice gets snake eyes.
Dan Shunk of OurLads.com, thanks so much for joining us, Dan. Look very much forward to catching up towards the actual draft. Go get some pierogies, okay?
All righty. Well, hey, thanks, Mark. Thanks, Kyle. Great being with you guys today. And say hello to Scott.
Will do. Thanks, Dan, very much. Dan Shalka joining us. Always great to visit with Dan and his perspective on the NFL draft after the combine. So we've got a final score in the Class 1A Boys State Basketball Championship game. Grandview Christian defeating Auburn at 43-24, ending what was a remarkable ride for the Auburnet Pirates. So many close games, overtime games, getting to the state tournament, and once in the state tournament, it's going to be a very memorable year for that team. Let's take a break. We'll have more on the Gym Class.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the only $5 meal worthy of your appetite? Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal. Our classic Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now bigger. With double the fresh, never frozen beef and double the apple with smoked bacon, there's nothing junior about it except the price. Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal comes with nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Get the $5 Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal at Wendy's. Giant meal, junior price.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at Dupaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through Dupaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that Dupaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at dupaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Alexis, I've reviewed your resume online, and I think you're very professional, punctual, a fantastic listener, and I believe you'd be a great fit at our company.
Dave, we've talked about this. I will not be your employee. I'm your therapist.
Is this reverse psychology?
No, Dave.
Does that mean yes?
We're out of time, Dave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
School is in session on KGYM. Attend the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes weekdays from 3 until 4. Then sit in on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 to 7. But when the bell rings and it's time to go home, don't forget about extracurricular activities on Smart FM. Like Live from the Soundboard with Glenn Gardner Saturday nights at 7 and Sunday mornings at 10. And great new wave tracks on High Tide with Just John Saturday nights at 8. Smart FM.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Welcome back. Coming up on 3:49 on the Friday edition of the Gym Class, March the 8th, Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann with you today. And having been most of the week, Kyle, really appreciate you sitting in, and we'll have Scott back next week.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Mark. Oh. And these last 2 weeks especially, I mean, this is supposed to kind of be a little bit of a dead period. You and I actually got a little bit lucky. We've had plenty to talk about.
We have indeed. Scott, by the way, moments from now, we'll be previewing the Class 2A state championship game, Northland and Boyden Hall. That coming up 107.5 and 106.3 FM on 1600, the remainder of the Gym Class, and the opening of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up at 4. Thanks again to Dan Chalk of OurLads.com. Again, we'll catch up with him as the NFL draft, the actual NFL draft, nears. And before we talked to Dan, we were chewing over the it was a pitiful Iowa basketball game last night, a 65-45 loss at Wisconsin. And as Bam Bam pointed out on the text line, that was a very good defense Iowa played last night. You have to mention that as well.
17 turnovers I think they forced, but I mean, sure, we can say they played decent defense at times.
He also goes on to say the spacing was absolutely terrible on Iowa's end. There always seems to be three or four people crowded around the ball. If this continues, the team will not win another game this year. We're also talking about Jordan Bohannon and his comments, and he's a straightforward dude. You got to give him that. And whether he has a really good game or a bad game, team game, you know, he's gonna wear his emotions on his sleeve.
Yeah, and he's at least, you know, he is transparent, or at least he definitely makes an effort to be. He, you know, sometimes to a fault, like on Twitter, like I said, I think can, you know, get a little bit too engaged with making comments and things like that. But, you know, I saw a quote from him in the post game last night. I'm actually reading this. I saw the quote initially in a piece by Chad Lystico. But, you know, Iowa did not shoot well last night, 30% from the floor, something like 27% from three as a team. And it's not just last night. You know, this is the fourth or fifth game in a row that it's been like that. And Jordan Bohannon last night, he said, "I can't remember another game like this when we just had open shots and were just missing." And, you know, I hate to be like this, but that's not true. I remember plenty of games because we've been watching the last four or five. I've seen it. All the Iowa fans have seen it. And even Fran McCaffrey has seen it, because the same exact excuse that Jordan Bohannon used to explain last night, Fran McCaffrey already used earlier this week to explain the previous four games. Here it is.
"You guys are under 30% from three in the last four games. Something you see there, shots you like that just aren't falling?"
"No, I think we're taking good shots. If the right people are shooting them, you know, we were shooting better for a while, and we haven't been. So you just get your shots up in practice and keep moving the ball. Just make sure you're shooting open shots and not contested shots. If you're shooting contested threes, you're not going to make them. You know, but I thought our looks were pretty good. And just keep encouraging the guys to continue to shoot them, because I think we have the right guys shooting them."
So in explaining away the woeful shooting that Iowa showed in the previous four games before last night, Fran McCaffrey says, "I don't know, man. They're shooting good shots. We got the right guys shooting them. They're just not falling." And Jordan Bohannon invoked the same excuse last night for a fifth game in a row now. And at some point, you know, I'm watching this Iowa collapse. I can't make sense of it. I don't think anybody really can. but we're not in the locker room. We're not, you know, we don't know a lot of things. But, you know, I hear that quote from Fran. I see this quote from Jordan Bohannon, and I'm just, you'll have to forgive me, but I'm starting to wonder if the Iowa locker room itself actually even knows what's going on.
Has the 20-game Big Ten season taken a toll? 65-29 alludes to that in a text. It looks like these guys just don't have the legs underneath them anymore. If Fran is still running him through the ringer at practice each and every day, I wonder about that. This is not the first year they have faltered badly at the end of the season. They look tired.
I think it's got to be some combination of a lot of things. You know, maybe they're tired, maybe they're not missing shots, but somebody has to figure something out. And at this point, there's just Iowa and Iowa State, they're both in this situation. Things are terrible. You know, not only are they not playing well, but, you know, you've got Iowa State players fighting each other. You've got the Iowa coach getting suspended. You know, it's not just on the court stuff. These programs right now are literally on fire. And each team only has one game left to fix things before postseason play. And, you know, I don't mean to be a pessimist, but it just paints a bleak picture for basketball fans in the state of Iowa.
Andy at 21:33 on the Hertzian and Stocker Jeweler text line. I disagree with Fran that we are getting good shots.
I do, too.
Other teams get far better looks than we do, and it's been that way for quite a while.
And that's the thing. I agree with Andy. I don't think what Fran said was, you know, totally correct. It's not just that you're taking good shots and you're just having bad luck for five games in a row. You know, that's a disingenuous thing to say. It's a cop-out to just chalk this all up to bad luck. You know, like I said earlier, there was nobody. Iowa didn't have a Michael Jacobson last night to demand accountability for what was happening last night. But if Jordan Bohannon's saying that, Fran said the same thing earlier this week, where is any of the accountability? Who is asking for accountability from anybody? Because even Fran McCaffrey is chalking this up to just bad luck.
Well, Iowa and Iowa State each have one more chance in the regular season to get things right. Iowa State has a difficult assignment tomorrow against a Texas Tech team that, with a win, could capture the Big 12 championship. And as you've outlined, this is a team that seems to be reeling. Much like Iowa, and Iowa is playing at Nebraska on Sunday, trying to finish the Big Ten season on a positive note. It is 10-9 right now in the league. Looks like it's on that 6-7 line for the Big Ten tournament. Bracketology today, Joe Lunardi had Iowa State 5 and Iowa 9. Jerry Palm had those two teams each as a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament, and things are going to change a whole bunch in the next week as not only the Big Ten and Big 12 conference tournaments are contested, but all those little tournaments across the country where somebody gets upset, somebody gets an automatic bid that you wouldn't expect, and that's going to affect the whole pecking order as well. One more mention of the KGYMRadio.com poll question today. How do you feel about Iowa's NCAA tournament chances at this point? They're solidly in the tournament. They're in now, but, or Iowa won't make the cut. Kind of all over the board right now. The leaders right now, they're in now, but, and Iowa won't make the cut. Each at about 40%.
That is a little reactionary, and don't get me wrong. I understand the eye test here. We know Iowa is not playing like a very good basketball team right now. But at the end of the day, they are, what, 21-9, something along those lines? They've put together a decent resume. And based on what they've already done, they're going to get in. But that is not to say they're not going to get absolutely dusted when they do.
KG Wayne programming the rest of the day. Right now, Scott Unash on the air, previewing the North Lynn Boyden Hall game in the Class 2A for the Class 2A state championship. That on 107.5 and 106.3. Also on the FMs tonight, Northern Iowa and Southern Illinois around 8 o'clock in the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. And a lot of great guests lined up next week as Scott Unash returns from his sojourn to a 2-week sojourn to Des Moines. By the way, final in the 1A that I mentioned previously, Grandview Christian beating Albernette 43-24. So hope you can stay tuned for the next 3 hours. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next. I'm sure a lot of analysis similar to what we've offered, maybe different, on the Iowa basketball woes last night, and several guests as well. So we appreciate Dan Shonka from ourlads.com hopping on with us and talk with him towards the start of the NFL draft. And appreciate you listening this week, and especially today on the Gym Class. Talk to you next week.